Will the House please come to order? Will the members please show their presence by voting? Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may take the roll.
33 present.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, Representative O'Connell and Byrne are excused from the call.
The prayer today is by Pastor John Raymer of the Ock Bay Bible Church. Members, please rise for the prayer.
Our God and Heavenly Father, accept our praise and gratitude for your care and goodness, for the wonders of your creation, for your mercy and forgiveness which is extended to us in Jesus Christ. We intercede today on behalf of the trying situation in our world, and especially the number of the hostages in need of help. We ask for those handling the negotiation. We pray for the leaders of our nation, President Carter's cabinet. We pray for the leaders in our state and community. We ask that you give us a sense of right and wrong, a true direction, and a respect and concern for our fellow men. Forgive us for our self-centered ways. Enlarge our hearts and make room for you in your pursuits in this world of need. Amen.
Will the Chief Clerk please certify as the correctness of the previous day's journal?
As Chief Clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 51st day.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 51st day be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk.
If there's no objection, the journal and the journal supplement will stand approved. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the prayer be spread on the journal.
If there's no objection, the prayer will be spread on the journal. Are there guests for introduction to the House today? Representative Carney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, I have two constituents from the big city of Houston, Alaska, in the mountainous Susitna Borough, Elsie O'Brien and Pretty Strasburg.
Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, we have a constituent from Fairbanks, Ms. Susan Baxter.
Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Also in Gallery A, Tom Rumry and Pam Bradley, who published the Homespun North newspaper, and Alex Scala from the Federation for Community Self-Reliance.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, I have a friend in Gallery B from Eagle River, Teresa Miller.
Further guests for introduction. Messages from the governor.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Communications.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports to standing committees.
The Committee on Community and Regional Affairs has had House Joint Resolution 62 relating to the Alaska Power Authority and the incurring a revenue bonded indebtedness of the Alaska Power Authority for the Tyee Lake Hydroelectric Generating Project near Petersburg and Wrangell and for the Swan Lake Hydroelectric Generating Project in the Ketchikan Gateway Borough under consideration, and a majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parker, Chairman, concurred in by Parker, Carney, Parr, Jaroff, and Branson. House Joint Resolution Number 62 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 46, Advertising by Businesses and Professions, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 46 and recommends and reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, signing due pass, Buchholz, Parr, and Anderson. Having no recommendation, Brown, Phillips, and Martin. House Bill 46 has no further referral. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 644, creating the Alaska Statehood Commission, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 644 and attaches a fiscal note and recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, signing do pass, Buchholz, Anderson, Malone, and Parr. Having no recommendation, Phillips, signing do not pass, Martin. House Bill 644 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Community and Regional Affairs is at House Bill 663, a special appropriation for the Tyonic Native Village Corporation under consideration. A majority of the committee reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Parker, Chairman, signing Dupas, Parker, Carney, and Jaroff, having no recommendation, Parr and Branson. House Bill 663 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Community and Regional Affairs is at House Bill 897, repealing the limitation on the rate of sales tax which may be levied by a municipality under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parker, Chairman, concurred in by Parker, Jaroff, Parr, Carney, and Branson. House Bill 897 has no further referral. The Committee on Rules is at House Bill 452, relating to credit unions, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 452 rules and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cotton, Chairman, concurred in by Hayes, Parr, Cotton, and Miller. Having no recommendation, Phillips and Anderson. House Bill 452 appears on today's calendar. The Committee on Health, Education, and Social Services has had House Bill 617, General Obligation of Bonds for the Purpose of Paying the Cost of Construction and Development of Senior Citizen Housing under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass with attached amendment and attaches a letter of intent. The report was signed by Mrs. Buckholt, Chairman, concurred in by Munson, Buckholt, Byrne, Miles, Barnes, Chatterton, and Hurlburt. House Bill 617 has a further referral to Finance. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller. House Police Sanities. House, please come back to order. Reports of special committees.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
Citation honoring Charlotte Jane Perkins by Representative Fuller. Citation honoring Father Daniel Berrigan by Representatives Rogers, Parker, and McKinnon. I have no resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, reference of House Bill.
House Bill, there is a change on the list on your desk. House Bill 935 by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, an act making a special appropriation to RuralCAP for a study identifying the needs of preschool-aged children and for a plan to meet those needs and providing for an effective date.
Hess and Finance.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Will the Chief Clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
House Joint Resolution Number 70 by Hurlburt, Halford, Anderson, Barnes, Brown, Freeman, Fuller, Haugen, Hayes, McKinnon, Malone, Martin, Miles, Miller, Montgomery, Moss, Munson, Osterbach, Randolph, Rogers, Jaroff, and Gardner, relating to operations at Bush Airports in Alaska. The Committee on Commerce is at House Joint Resolution 70 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Brown, Chairman, concurred in by Randolph, Bettersworth, Munson, and Halford. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Joint Resolution Number 70 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
If there is no objection, House Joint Resolution Number 70 will be engrossed, advanced, third reading, and placed on final passage. Clerk, please read the resolution in third reading.
House Joint Resolution Number 70 by Hurlburt, Halford, Anderson, et al., relating to operations at Bush Airports in Alaska.
Representative Hayes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to ask for an explanation of the resolution for the benefit of those members of this body who are not on Commerce Committee or who didn't co-sponsor the resolution. Perhaps Representative Halford or Hurlburt might give a brief explanation.
Representative Halford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Under current FAA regs, Part 135, I think it's .385, requires certain landing requirements for aircraft over 12,500 pounds. These landing requirements include the same basic criteria for establishing landing distances that are used all the way up through 747s. They require that the aircraft be 50 feet over the end of the runway at the point that approaches the end of the runway. Then it's got to be the runway landing distance is computed based on a 3-degree glide slope, which leaves anywhere between 400 and 800 feet of the runway behind you before you even touch down. Then the aircraft has to stop without using reverse. And the total of this distance then can be no more than 60% of the total length of the runway. The result is that a number of aircraft specifically designed for bush operations, for operations on unimproved short runways, of which we have a number in Alaska serving bush communities, can't legally operate where they were designed to operate. The resolution asks that the FAA consider waiving these requirements for STOL aircraft operating in Alaska and request that they consider this under an expedited procedure so that the reliefs that we may be able to gain can be gained as soon as possible to permit these aircraft to help in a number of the problems we're dealing with right now, including the fuel shortage in rural Alaska and also their continuing cargo needs.
The further debate. The question for the House is the final passage of House Joint Resolution Number 70. The members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
37 yeas, no nays.
House Joint Resolution Number 70 has passed the House. The Chief Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
House Bill 452. By McKinnon and Rogers, an act providing for state chartered credit unions. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 452 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 452 and reports it back with individual recommendations and attaches a physical note. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, signing Dupass, Brown, Malone, and Parr. Buchholz signed Dupass. It's been 4 years and 30 seconds. Signing no recommendation, Anderson, and Barnes signed no recommendation. It only took 30 seconds. Phillips signed do not pass. The Committee on Rules has had House Bill 452 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 452 rules and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cotton, Chairman, concurred in by Hayes, Parr, Cotton, and Miller. Having no recommendation, Phillips and Anderson. I have two committee substitutes on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Rules Committee substitute for House Bill Number 452 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
If there's no objection, the Rules Committee substitute for House Bill Number 452 will be adopted in lieu of the original bill. Representative Brown.
May we have a short at ease, please?
House, please stand at ease. Shown as the roll call on the effective date clause. Will the Chief Clerk, Representative Anderson?
Could we have a brief at ease, please?
House, please stand at ease. Will the House please come back to order? Representative McKinnon?
I'd like to bring up my reconsideration of Senate Bill 104 at this time.
Reconsideration of Senate Bill 104 is before us. Will the Chief Clerk please read the bill by title?
House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 104, Judiciary, by the Judiciary Committee. An act relating to the judiciary, establishing a court of appeals, amending the jurisdiction of the Supreme Court, the Superior Court, and the District Court, clarifying and amending the sentence appeal and other appellate jurisdiction of the Superior Court, changing the qualifications of justices and judges, providing that justices and judges may serve as delegates to constitutional conventions, amending the time period in which the Judicial Council is to provide information to the public concerning judicial officers standing for retention and election, changing Rule 21, Rules of Appellate Procedure, and Rule 7, District Court Criminal Rules, and providing for an effective date.
Representative Freeman.
May we have a brief at ease?
House, please stand at ease. The House, please come back to order. Representative McKinnon.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that we return to second reading for purposes of a specific amendment.
Clerk, please read the amendment.
I have no amendment on my desk.
To adopt or rescind our action in failing to adopt amendment number 2.
I think it'd be easier if your motion was just to return second reading for purposes of adopting amendment number 2. That's what his motion is. Will the clerk please read amendment number 2?
Point of order,
Representative Brown.
I think parliamentarily he may be closer to right than you are, but it's not that big a deal.
Point of order.
Representative Malone.
Point of order, Mr. Speaker. I think that your interpretation is correct. On reconsideration, no previous votes on the bill count at all. And I think your interpretation is correct.
In deference to the former speaker, I'll go along with my own ruling. Will the clerk please read amendment number 2?
Amendment number 2 by Mr. Freeman. Page 2, line 17. Delete, may in its discretion, 1, review, and insert, has jurisdiction to review, 1, in its place. Page 2, line 21. Delete the word review.
Representative McKinnon.
Mr. Speaker, we discussed at length the question of whether or not a person facing a criminal misdemeanor charge should have as his final right of appeal the ability to take his case to a tribunal rather than an individual judge. I think that most of the points were fairly well argued. I'd just like to stress a couple of those. One, that in the federal system, individual does have a right to an appeal to a tribunal, the Circuit Court of Appeals, as a matter of right. I think most other states allow some form of appeal to a tribunal as a matter of right. And, you know, I think that should be the case here. We're allowing, under this bill, the final appeal is a matter of right for a person charged with a misdemeanor to a Superior Court judge who, in most cases, is a trial judge, not an appellate judge, whose normal course of work involves hearing cases in the initial trial level and not handling appellate matters. And I think that you know, it'd be good public policy to give an individual whose faces up to a year in jail the ability to take his case to a tribunal of judges.
Representative Parr.
I'll yield, Mr. Malone.
Representative Malone.
Speaker, I'd like to request a brief at ease, please.
House, please stand at ease. The House, please come back to order. House, please come back to order. House, please stand at ease. The House, please come back to order. Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, as far as I know, there have been no new information developed and no new arguments presented since we discussed this yesterday. And so I suppose that the same rationale that was used yesterday should still govern, unless there has been some new information developed or some new approach that no one has heard of yet, and I don't believe that the maker of the motion has given it. And so I do not think we should turn to second reading for this specific amendment.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I was asked yesterday to make a few comments about the bill, and the question to me, or I think to members of the Bush delegation, was whether or not in our minds we felt that this bill would help matters in the rural communities. That requires me to make a very subjective determination, because first of all, we're talking about an entirely new concept here. at least for the state of Alaska. It's not new in 27 other states. There were several other recommendations that were made by the committee or other people made to the committee that we discussed. And in my opinion, the action that we're taking is in deference to the court system. They came up with the Court of Appeals idea. We couldn't come up with a better system to handle the problem of workload. And that's primarily what we're trying to address because one of the things that we noticed is that the caseload is growing, contrary to some statements made yesterday. The rate of increase may be increasing at a decreasing rate, but nonetheless, the actual workload is increasing. And justice delayed is justice denied, and that's one of the precepts that the Judiciary Committee worked under. In my opinion, if the amendment is adopted, I think we go back to just about ground zero where we were last year when we didn't even have the possibility of a Court of Appeals. And since the system hasn't been tried, and since in the opinion of the Judiciary Committee that this system ought to be considered to see whether or not it is workable, seems to be the appropriate action to take, because we have spent an awful lot of time on this. As you recall, Mr. Speaker, the Judiciary Committee had the opportunity to move this bill out, but the chairman of the committee felt that it needed more time and attention. The time was taken, the bill was deliberated, various policy considerations were taken up in the committee, and we adopted the system that we have before us now in its original form. I do not favor going back to second reading because I think it is going to destroy the original intent of the Court of Appeals. And I think that the system ought to be given an opportunity to work. If it does not work, in the opinion of the legislature a year from now or 2 years from now, then the method ought to be changed, but not until it's given an opportunity to work. So I would ask members to vote against going back to second reading for purposes of adopting amendment number 2.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I concur with the remarks of the majority leader, and I'm going to vote against this amendment for the reasons it indicated in our debate and my offerings to the debate yesterday. However, I understand, and I guess I now have another reason to vote against this amendment, in part because there's another amendment which addresses the same kind of issue, the issue that, as I indicated on the floor yesterday, really was not, and about the only argument that wasn't, considered by the Judiciary Committee, and that's the issue of the availability of a tribunal, more than one judge, to consider an appeal. And I think that's the next amendment going to be offered on this floor that would provide a choice for the convicted misdemeanant to offer to go either to the Superior Court or to the Court of Appeals directly. I did offer that in the Judiciary Committee as a coincidence, I guess. I didn't know it was going to be offered today, and I think it was defeated narrowly, if I remember correctly. I think that that's a far better solution, and it's more minor surgery as far as the course of the entire bill is concerned, and I favor that instead of the current amendment. So I'm going to vote against going back to second reading, anticipating that I would vote to go back to second reading on the next amendment offered.
Representative McKinnon.
Mr. Speaker, my understanding of the intent of this bill was to relieve the workload of the Supreme Court, and to do that by setting up a Court of Appeals which would deal with criminal appeals. And it's not my understanding that the intent is to relieve this, to go to the further step of trying to relieve the workload of this new court that we created to relieve the workload of the Supreme Court. What we seem to be doing here is trying to set up some sort of system of processing people rather than dealing with justice. And I think that that we need to set up some sort of right of appeal to a tribunal. I think if you talk to most attorneys, that there's not a high deal of regard from number of Superior Court judges as far as their ability to handle this type, appellate work. There may be, a lot of good trial judges who, I think we're dealing with a different matter when you're talking about points on appeal. And I think there's a need for a, and some sort of right to an appellate tribunal.
Representative Meek.
Mr. Speaker, we can most easily disagree, I guess, when we're trying to predict what would happen, what kind of trying to predict behavior that might happen in the future. So I guess there is a, you know, real difference of opinion here. But in regards to the remarks of the majority leader, I really disagree with his conclusions, although I, you know, I follow him up to the point of conclusions. But one of the things that I'm really concerned about in this state is an inequity or discrimination in different parts of the state or to different people of the state and how we provide justice. And I think that it's extremely important that we don't have one area of the state or one group of people in the state being treated differently under our judicial system than another area of the state or another group of people in the state. We've had some information, very disturbing information, over the last couple of years that indicates that that might very well be the case. And I think what we do when we deny a right of appeal upwards to one tribunal, that everybody, whether they came from the east part of the state or the west part of the state, whether they're one group, from one group or another, would eventually wind up their appeal to the same group of people, then you would have the same standards of justice and the same concepts of justice being applied to everyone as they went up to this one single group. If the appeal process would end, when it does end at the Superior Court level, then you have different Superior Court judges in different areas of the state perhaps making, or at least potentially making, different opinions. So you have the possibility, and I think it looms very large in my mind, that you have different types of justice or different opinions about what kind of a standard of justice in regards to appeals would be applied in different areas of the state. And you're hoping that this tribunal will step in the cases where it's appropriate and look at them. Of course, you're asking them to make that judgment based upon a less than full examination of the issue, because what the right of appeal, if this amendment passed, it would guarantee that they would look at it in the fullest extent. But when you say that they can take up cases or not take up cases, they have to make that decision based upon, obviously, by definition, less information than they would if they took it up to the full extent of the case. So I think that you're really asking for, you know, the situation that we're concerned about, that is discriminatory practices and inequity between different groups in the state and between different areas of the state. I think you're asking for the potential that that problem is exacerbated if you don't allow everyone to go to the same group of judges rather than having them under the current status of the bill before us split out to different Superior Court judges.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, the previous speaker referred to the problem of guaranteeing everybody equal treatment, more or less, so he didn't use those words. When the Judiciary Committee was doing its interim work, every place we had hearings, we also went to the jail, to the prison. And one place we went to was Bethel. I believe the speaker did mention Western Alaska. And there were 21 prisoners. Now, 14 of those prisoners were in on felony charges, Mr. Speaker. That could mean anything from a 3 to a 10-year sentence or more, depending. Under the proposal, those 14 people in that prison who had been convicted of felonies would have had one appeal. The other 7 who were in for misdemeanor convictions would have had 2 appeals. That's kind of a bottom line as I see it here, Mr. Speaker. The second point that was mentioned by the speaker, Mr. McKinnon, was we're talking about the district court judges and whether they'll do the right job or not. Well, Mr. Speaker, I think that we have to leave some responsibility in the hands of the Supreme Court. It is the responsibility of the Supreme Court to make sure that its district court judges know what criteria to use and how to handle appeals. Now, if we are convinced, after some experience, this is not being the case, I guess we can do something about it. But the Supreme Court, last I heard, had plenty of authority to do that. And if on some rare occasion they do find a Superior Court judge who simply can't learn or who is consistently wrong, consistently discriminatory, then there are mechanisms through the Judicial Qualifications Commission to remove such a judge. So I don't think those arguments that we've heard hold water.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Regarding the questions on the uniform application of justice and how appeals being considered by the Superior Court bench might result in unfair or non-uniform applications of state law, I would remind the members of the House that, of course, these people right now are conducting the most important part of the whole process, the trial itself. And if that system isn't working, then we certainly need to focus attention on that. But the whole case is developed in the Superior Court at the trial bench level. And if right now we have serious inequities occurring in the application of the law, then that certainly should be corrected. But I would submit that the primary responsibility for the resolution of these cases does rest with the trial bench, and that in any case, if you've got bad judges, you should weed them out. I don't think that the arguments relating to the appeals are going to straighten out these things. I think the judges themselves are going to have to be looked at. And I'd remind the members of the House again that we are dealing with cases that, not always, but for the most part, involve fairly simple rules of law, rules of evidence and procedure, and that there is a provision in the legislation as written that does allow the intermediate court to address any miscarriages of justice that may occur.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, in addition to that, there's even a provision that would cause those cases, if necessary, to go on discretionary review up to the Supreme Court. So we may have three tiers of appellate review available, and we can't assume that, I would even argue that a denial of that discretionary review in the Court of Appeals is something that would then be appealable as a final matter for discretionary review of the Supreme Court. So you've got two tribunals looking down the neck of a Superior Court judge when he hears these appeals of misdemeanors. And Mr. Speaker, right now, all misdemeanors are appealed to the Superior Court. This is the present system. There are other parts of the bill with regard to the availability of a right to appeal further that are more limited, but that is the present system that has existed for a long time. The kind of offenses we're talking about are simple assault, matters prosecuted as misdemeanors before under city ordinances, alcohol violations, operating a motor vehicle under the influence of alcohol, that kind of thing. And it would seem very strange if we were to provide more of a right to appeal in misdemeanor cases than we provided in felonies. I think that the amendment which will be offered in a moment is a far easier way of dealing with this issue, as I indicated before.
Question for the House, a motion to return to second reading for purposes of adopting specific amendment number 2. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
21 yeas, 16 nays.
We are in second reading. Will clerk please read the amendment?
Amendment number 2 by Mr. Freeman. Page 2, line 17. Delete may in its discretion 1 review and insert has jurisdiction to review 1 in its place. Page 2, line 21. Delete the word review.
Representative Freeman.
I move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
There is objection. Amendment number 2 has been moved. Is there a debate? Question for the House is the motion to adopt amendment number 2. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
19 yeas, 18 nays.
Amendment number 2 has been adopted. Representative Parr? House, please stand at ease. No other amendments can be moved. Is there objection to the motion to advance the third reading? There's no objection. We're in House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 104 will be engrossed, advanced third reading, and placed on final passage. Clerk, please read the bill in third reading.
House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 104, Judiciary, amended by the Judiciary Committee. An act relating to the judiciary, establishing a court of appeals, amending the jurisdiction of the Supreme Court, the Superior Court, and the District Court, clarifying and amending the sentence appeal and other appellate jurisdiction of the Superior Court, changing the qualifications of justices and judges, providing that justices and judges may serve as delegates to constitutional conventions, amending the time period in which the Judicial Council is to provide information to the public concerning judicial officers standing for retention election, changing Rule 21, Rules of Appellate Procedure, and Rule 7, District Court Criminal Rules, and providing for an effective date.
Representative, we have two amendments. Representative Parr?
Mr. Speaker, I'll ask the clerk to hold my amendment and take the other one first, if that's permissible.
Representative Rogers?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that we return to second reading for the purposes of a specific amendment.
There is objection. Representative, will the clerk please read the amendment?
Amendment number 3, and it has been duplicated and placed on your desks. It says by McKinnon, but it's by Rogers. It starts page 2, lines 12 through 24.
Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, this is the amendment that Representative Brown referred to earlier. What it allows is it does allow an appeal to the Court of Appeals, but that right of appeal is waived if the appellant would rather appeal to the Superior Court. So basically, there's one right of appeal either to the Superior or to the Court of Appeals.
Question for the House is the motion to return to second reading for adoption of specific amendment number 3. Members may proceed to vote.
Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Point of order, just for the sake of the record, for anything else, Mr. Speaker, if this amendment is adopted, this does, in fact, does it not have the effect of wiping out the action we took just previously on the other amendment?
Someone wish to respond? Representative Meekins.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. This was originally thought of as a compromise, but those of us, Representative McKinnon and myself, who were interested in the motion we just accepted, but in the course of the debate, Mr. Parr, Chairman Parr, did bring out, I think, one thing that swayed my opinion that I hadn't fully comprehended before, which is that there still would be some possibility of some discrimination, not a possibility, but some outright discrimination, in the sense that different kinds of felonies and misdemeanors would be treated differently in terms of their rights. And I think that this amendment has a pretty widespread support. In talking to members, I think those of us that are on the opposite sides of the last one could both agree with this one. And considering that each side really had good points, this one takes care of my concerns. And so it's not necessary from my point of view to go all the way that we just did. So this would be backtracking somewhat. It's a compromise proposal, and I'm hoping that both sides on this argument could agree with it. And I think it's a good one, and we're dealing with a very important subject, and I would hope that both sides of the previous debate could agree to this compromise. It is essentially rescinding our action on the very last amendment and replacing it with this one.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I just wanted that on the record because, and your ruling in that respect, because we did pass the other amendment and there could be some confusion. So on the record, this does rescind our previous action if it passes.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I'm trying to compare the amendment to the original bill, and maybe it's all right, but there is a provision in the original bill that is being sought to be deleted that says, except the state has no right to appeal in criminal cases except to test the sufficiency of the indictment or information or to appeal a sentence on the ground it is too lenient. In the present subsection C, a variation of that is on subsection D, and it's an odd way of drafting it compared to the original bill. I hope that it is not changing the bill with regard to that matter that was rather carefully considered in Judiciary Committee, and it's important enough that before we vote to go back to second reading, I'd like to ask for an at ease so that the members of the Judiciary Committee who are familiar with the matter can carefully compare the language of the amendment with the bill to assure ourselves that we're not making a change with regard to the right of the state to appeal a portion of a sentence.
The House, please stand at ease.
There was a mistake in that amendment, and I'd like to ask the clerk to read the amended amendment number, the changes to amendment number 3.
It's the first line, page 2, lines 12 through 24. Delete subsection C and insert new subsections C and D to read. And then you put in C and D and renumber the following section.
Mr. Speaker, there's supposed to be lines 12 through 16. It should read page 2, lines 12 through 16. Delete subsection C and insert new subsections C and D to read and then renumber subsequent.
Representative Malone.
Mr. Speaker, to explain further, then the effect of the amendment would be to delete the present subsection C in the bill. Leave the present subsection D, perhaps with a new number, intact in the legislation, and add then the two new sections that are proposed in the amendment. The reason for that is that there's a danger that if the amendment was adopted, deleting the present subsection D, that the intermediate court would have no jurisdiction for the discretionary review of a case where a person decided to appeal it to the superior court and got less than justice, and we want to retain that discretionary review in those cases.
Okay. Is it clear to the members that the motion for the body is a motion to return to second reading for purposes of a specific amendment? And that specific amendment is amendment number 3 as it is revised. Representative Brown.
And Mr. Speaker, with regard to the question that I raised just before the at ease, there is no defect with regard to any change in the right of appeal of sentences by the defendant or the state in the amendment as redrafted.
Representative Chatterton.
Yes, seeking a point of information, Mr. Speaker. If we leave the present section D as it is in the bill now, what happens to the amendment that just passed on this floor, because it was to that section?
Representative Miller.
Speaker, in accordance with the question I asked earlier, and I thought your ruling concurred in that, that would eliminate, it would have the effect of rescinding the...
Mr. Chatterson's question goes to the present section D, which would stay in the bill. So I assume if this amendment was adopted, that section D is, as it was changed, would become section E of the bill.
Point of information, Mr. Speaker.
So we need to rescind.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I thought we had it worked out. We don't. The problem is the discretionary review that Mr. Malone refers to was deleted by the last amendment, so I think we better have another at ease.
The House, please stand at ease. House, please stand at ease. The House, please come back to order. I think, to clarify, if this amendment was adopted, proper procedure would be, if the members chose to move to rescind, to reach it. There's no way you can rule that this amendment would somehow affect some other section that of the bill. Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Chatterton was correct, and if this amendment does pass, I will move to return again to rescind amendment number 2.
The motion before the body is a motion to return to second reading for adoption of amendment number 3, the revised amendment as it was read by the Chief Clerk. The members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? The clerk Clerk may take the final roll.
30 yeas, 7 nays.
We are in second reading. Representative Rogers.
I move the amendment.
Amendment number 3 has been moved. Will Clerk please read the amendment?
Amendment number 3 by Mr. Rogers. Page 2, lines 12 through 16. Delete subsection C and insert new subsection C and D to read. And then it's as it is on your paper.
Question for the body is the motion to adopt amendment number 3. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
31 yeas, 6 nays.
Amendment number 3 has been adopted. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Judiciary Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 104 be considered in gross advance of third reading and placed on final passage.
If there's no objection, House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 104 will be in gross advance of third reading and placed on final passage. Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that we return to second reading for the
point
purposes.
Of order, Mr. Speaker. Doesn't the
Brown?
Clerk have to read the bill in third reading before that motion can be entertained?
Clerk, please read the bill.
House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 104, Judiciary, amended by the Judiciary Committee. An act relating to the judiciary establishing a court of appeals, amending the jurisdiction of the Supreme Court, the Superior Court, and the District Court. Clarifying and amending the sentence appeal and other appellate jurisdiction of the Superior Court, changing the qualifications of justices and judges, providing that justices and judges may serve as delegates to constitutional conventions, amending the time period in which the Judicial Council is to provide information to the public concerning judicial officers standing for retention election, changing Rule 21, Rules of Appellate Procedure, and Rule 7, District Court Criminal Rules, and providing for an effective date.
Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that we return to second reading for the purposes of rescinding our adoption of amendment number 2.
The motion before the body is motion to return to second reading for purposes of rescinding our action and adopting amendment number 2. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
37 yeas, no nays.
We are in second reading. Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that we rescind our action in adopting amendment on number 2.
Motion for the body is a motion to rescind our action in adopting amendment number 2. Members may proceed to vote. Is there objection to the motion? There's no objection to the motion. Motion is adopted. The House has rescinded its action in adopting amendment number 2. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Judiciary Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 104 be considered in gross advance of third reading and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 104 will be engrossed advanced third reading and placed on final passage. Will the clerk please read the bill in third reading and final passage?
Oh, yes.
Give the short title.
House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 104, Judiciary, amended by the Judiciary Committee, establishing the Court of Appeals and providing for an effective date.
Question for the House is the final passage of House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 104. Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think the discussion that we just had and certainly the discussion yesterday proved that this bill has a lot of discrepancies to it, and certainly that the major problem is that we will not achieve justice for all of our citizens. The confusion alluded to this morning shows that most of us here really don't know what the bill is all about. And I think for that reason we should vote against it.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Brown.
Well, I would like to applaud the members because they so obviously did understand what was going on. Otherwise, they wouldn't have rescinded unanimously an amendment that they had passed earlier.
in one of the fastest shuffles I've ever seen, and everybody really did understand what was happening. It was rather amazing. I've never seen it happen in the other body. So I think we do know what we're doing, and although I have the same reservations about the public policy issues I mentioned yesterday, I feel that I should vote for the bill in order to address the problem that has been brought to us and proved by the Supreme Court.
Question for the body is the final passage of House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 104. The members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Representative Malone? Clerk, please open the roll. Representative Malone? Are there other members who wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
31 yeas. Was it six nays?
House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 104 has passed the House. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of House Judiciary Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 104 be considered as a roll call for the Rules of Appellate Procedure and District Court Criminal Rules changes.
If there's no objection, the roll call and final passage will be shown as the roll call on the court rule changes in Section 37 and 38 of the bill. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of House Judiciary Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 104 be considered as a roll call for the effective date clause.
If there's no objection, the roll call and final passage will be shown as a roll call on the effective date clause. Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that a citation honoring Father Daniel Berrigan be brought up as a special order of business at this time.
There's no objection. The citation will be brought up as special order of business. Will the clerk please read the citation?
Citation honoring Father Daniel Berrigan by Representative Rogers, Parker, and McKinnon.
Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker.
Oh, Representative Malone.
Speaker, I was not going to move to adopt the citation, but I would move to ask that my name be shown as a co-sponsor on the citation.
There's no objection. Representative Malone will be added as co-sponsor. Representative Anderson.
I move adoption of the...
Representative Buchholz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would also like to be included as co-sponsor of the resolution.
Representative Buchholz, are there other members who wish to be added as co-sponsor? Representative Carney, be added as co-sponsor. Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I appreciate the way this has been carefully drafted. I admire the individual, too, but there have been times when I have not agreed with him either, and the citation very carefully says that, so I don't have any problem voting for it.
Representative Anderson?
I move approval of the citation.
There's no objection. The citation will be adopted. Under unfinished business, items unfinished business come before the House. Announcements of committee meetings. Representative Miles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Resources will meet at 3 o'clock this afternoon, and House Bill 687 will be taking testimony on the proposed Energy Institute legislation. And then we'll be meeting at 7 o'clock tonight, hopefully our last meeting on Committee Substitute for House Bill 205, the Oil Pollution Bill.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, the House Commerce Committee will meet at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning to consider House Bill 882, minimum standards on insurance contracts. I think it's really life insurance contracts. And right now I would like to flag the members in the chamber on a change in the schedule, and the change schedule will be published very quickly for the rest of the week. On March 7, Friday, we had just to be announced, 8 a.m., that's going to be House Bill 934. It's a preliminary informational hearing on what's in the bill and why. It's the reorganization bill relating to telecommunications. And we have a tentative meeting set for Saturday morning, which is also new, at 9 o'clock in the morning, a work session with subcommittees. And for those reasons, I'd like the members of the committee to make note of those changes.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to bring members' attention to a document that they had on their desks. We're being asked by the Legislative Reference Library to have members please sign these acknowledges of receipt. They have to do with session laws of the first special session in 1979. So we really appreciate it if you could sign your acknowledgement of receipt, and House pages will pick them up so we can get them to the library. Thank you.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, Judiciary Committee will meet at 3 this afternoon, a Bar Association Sunset Review, and at 7:30 tonight, Parole Board Sunset Review.
Representative Meekins.
Speaker, Wednesday is the day that the Finance Committee uses for subcommittee work. The subcommittees that are currently functioning are the subcommittees on the FY81 budget and the subcommittees on the FY80 budget, including capital and operating, subcommittee on telecommunications bill, the hydro bill, the transportation bill, and income tax and distribution. So those will, some of those or all of those will be meeting today. The ad hoc committee on loans will meet at 4 p.m. today in the finance room.
Representative Buchholz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This afternoon, 1:30, House will consider House Bill 862, Special Appropriation for Growing Child Program for Materials Purchase, and House Bill 802, Nurse Midwives.
Representative Hurlburt.
The House Labor and Management Committee will meet in the morning at 8:30 to consider HCR 59. It's a workers' comp task force at the Resource Building 118.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, State Affairs will not be meeting today.
Further announcements. Special
Speaker,
orders.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Was the announcement made of the councilman?
Representative McKinnon.
There will be a legislative council meeting at 1:30 in Senate Finance.
Representative Randolph.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Under special announcements, I'd like to put it to the floor to discuss the tax issue.
Representative Randolph.
Last week, as you're all aware, Monday through Thursday, I made a motion to pull a bill from committee, and I quit doing that on Friday because it appeared at that time that we were going to get a bill on the floor sometime this week. I'm wondering if, I see Mr. Meekins just left, but I understand Mr. Freeman is chairman of a subcommittee. Maybe someone could tell the body how that issue is moving along.
Representative Freeman.
We're moving along.
I think the subcommittee was meeting early this morning. Probably be meeting again. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn till 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
There's no objection. House adjourn till 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.